Thursday, July 31st, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we're continuing in Romans chapter 4 with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, The Law is Not of Faith.
When Abraham, what it's saying is when Abraham was placed in this situation that when God made the promise, this is so amazing about the book of Genesis, the law had not even been given yet. The whole book is grace and grace and grace and grace in these messed up sinners' lives. The law had not been given yet to demonstrate for all of us when we read Father Abraham and all the patriarchs that the promise was by faith according to grace and ran on that principle and still runs to this day.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
There is absolutely nothing you do to accomplish it. Now, I don't know if we realize how strong of an argument that is. It's a known fact that the rabbis would teach that Abraham knew and obeyed the law in all of its details. Rav said, one of the rabbis, Abraham, our patriarch, fulfilled the entire Torah before it was given. Remember, the law came 430 years later. As it is stated, because Abraham hearkened to my voice and kept my charge, my mitzvot, the statutes and my Torahs, we find that Abraham, our father, had performed the whole law before it was given, and Abraham was perfect in all of his deeds with the Lord. So this is common teaching in Judaism about Father Abraham. Paul knew this was believed. Paul knew that this is what he was running up against. They trust in Abraham, and even more so at times Moses. And Paul's making a basic point here. You've not considered that there are two very different principles at work in this life. And they can't be mingled. They can't be joined. It's all one or it's all the other. This is what he said in verse 5, that to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. He does not work for this. That's what he said. But instead believes, two principles. He says again in chapter 11 of Romans, and if it is by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it's of works, it's no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. So, the point he's making, no middle ground on this issue. And it's that big of an issue. And so in verse 14, he plainly says, for the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Faith. If it were works, faith would mean nothing. The promise would be of no effect, he says. Then it would rest on man's obedience. And if you want to go back to that, then you got the first three chapters of Romans to deal with, which were utterly brutal in our assessment of humanity. But that's not the principle on which the promise operated, says Paul. So what does Paul do to prove this point? I want everyone to look closely at what he says here, because this is a point of great confusion, even to our day. Paul says plainly in verse 15, this is a highlighting verse. This is a verse that stands out in the narrative, in the story, in the section here. The problem is that the law brings wrath. It's one of those little phrases you have to just stop and ponder. Our doing of the law brings wrath. It's an insurmountable problem. This is exactly why Galatians says the law is not of faith. So what was the purpose of the law? Let me ask this question. What did Israel end up doing with the law? That's how you answer that question. Paul says in chapters 10 of Romans, Israel desperately tried to establish their own righteousness by pursuing the law of righteousness. In other words, they thought that by trying to do all that the Lord had commanded, they would achieve eternal life. And Paul is saying they did not submit to the righteousness that comes by faith. Now, this is crucial. When God gave the law on Sinai, if we could just go back there for a moment, remember what the law was prefaced with. This is where a lot of people get a little hung up, but there's that really glorious statement that the law was prefaced with. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. If you're living by faith, as Father Abraham lived by faith, you know that deliverance came first, and then came the law. And that became, for those who live by faith, a thankful guide, a thankful way of deliverance. They had been delivered. But Galatians comes along and Romans comes along and it helps us to understand what was the primary intention of the law. What was the great purpose of the law? Galatians 3:21, is the law contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could have given life, if the law had been given that could have produced eternal life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But that's not what Israel did with the law. Paul goes on in Galatians to say, by the law comes the knowledge of sin. Here he states plainly what was the purpose of the law. What Israel did not understand about the law and what the purpose of the law was primarily. So you have this great record of what happened on Sinai. You know, we read the law on Sunday mornings and we read the Ten Commandments and it's a pretty casual endeavor. It's a pretty casual endeavor. I don't see anyone real fear and trembling when we're reading the law, but you should recognize what happened when it first was given. The Lord said, I want bounds around all the mountain. It would be like no trespassing, keep out, authorized access only. Moses, I want bounds for everyone. If anyone goes up and just touches the base of the mountain, puts a finger on the base of the mountain, I want archers ready, and you are to shoot them dead. If someone touches, he needs immediately to be put to death by stoning or by an arrow, was the command. You shoot arrows. So the Lord says, I'm going to sound the trumpet. And when the trumpet sounds, then everyone will come near the mountain. This is what we read. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of a trumpet was very loud, so that all the people were in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. So what you have here is a fire theophany where God had come down on the mountain. Everything is lit up on fire. Everything goes black all around. It would be like looking up and the whole sky becoming completely black in this ominous cloud that's descending, and then you'd see this awesome fire column resting on the mountain. That was the only light, was a massive column of fire, and lightnings are flashing out of it everywhere. The trumpet begins to sound. It starts to get loud, louder, and louder, so that they can barely handle the strength of it. The ground starts to shake under them, begins to crumble. Hebrews says, the sound of the trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers, this is just the words that were spoken, made the hearers beg no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure what was commanded. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was that sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. The whole thing shook. They couldn't control themselves. They're shaking. What was happening? God was given the law. God was giving the law. Immediately after the Ten Commandments, you get the effect of it. As if you ever read Exodus 20 and just read the next verses after we stop at the 10th commandment, this is what you get. The people begged that God would no longer speak to them, lest they be consumed. You see, why the record? It's teaching us something. Well, it's teaching us something about the holiness of God. Something that Isaiah, when he came in contact with, had to duck and cover. I'm breaking up in his presence. But it was teaching us something first and foremost about sin. The law, says Paul here, brings wrath. This is just on his mind. Meaning, if you want to try to find acceptance with God, and you want to try to find acceptance with God this way, very simply, if you are really trying to be your best, and you think that if you do and live a decent moral life, and you agree to those terms yourself, that will only result in wrath. That's what he's saying. The basic purpose of the law is to expose sin. Paul says God put Israel under the law to stop the mouth of the whole world and its own righteousness, Romans 2. So the great summary of the book is right here. This is the great summary of the book tonight, that no one is justified by the law, for the just shall live by faith. The law came 400 years later. When Abraham, what it's saying is when Abraham was placed in this situation, that when God made the promise, this is so amazing about the book of Genesis, the law had not even been given yet. The whole book is grace and grace and grace and grace in these messed up sinners' lives. The law had not been given yet to demonstrate for all of us, when we read Father Abraham and all the patriarchs, that the promise was by faith according to grace and ran on that principle, and it still runs to this day. Well, Paul now spells out for us, that's how Abraham received it. When God made this glorious promise to Abraham, he says in verse 16, that this promise was received by faith, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure. Notice this, to you, to all the seed, to all the sand on the seashore, to all the stars in the heaven. What do we really learn from the life of Abraham, beloved? God decided of his own free good pleasure. That's the amazing thing about salvation. Why did he do it for us? He decided to. He decided to. For you. To love you. To give you his son. To forgive you. And freely to justify you by grace through faith. Why does God do that for us? What a marvel. What a question. You know what is the response that gives him the most glory? That's the whole point here. The response that gives him the most glory is faith. Faith. Verse 20, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith, and as he gave glory to God. There it is. There it is. What glorified God in Abraham? What glorifies God in us? What is the single great choice made by God himself by which we can glorify him? It's faith alone. It's faith alone. This is where Abraham, I went through all his failures and it's uncomfortable. I went through David's failures and it's uncomfortable. You want to know where they're commended? Right here. And it's a big commendation. Faith. Faith glorifies God. R. Heidelberg defines it beautifully. It's not only a knowledge and conviction that everything God said in his word is true, but it's also a deep-rooted assurance. Now think about this. Created in me by the Holy Spirit through the gospel, that out of sheer grace earned for me by Christ, God grants not only to me but also to others to have my sins forgiven, that I've been made forever right with God and have been granted salvation. What a God. I mean, what a God. What a debt we owe. What a debt was paid for us. And he says, receive it by faith. And Paul won't stop commending this, beloved. He will not stop commending this. Verse 18, Abraham, contrary to hope, believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. He became the father of us, so that this would be the example. This would be what we see in the great patriarch. He did not waver in unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. He grew in faith. That is the whole of our life, isn't it? He gave glory to God. I love this. Being fully convinced, God was able to perform what he promised. There's the heart of your faith tonight. There's the heart of Christianity tonight. It was accounted. Paul follows up right after he says that. He was so sure God would perform what he promised. That's why it was accounted to him for righteousness. Do you believe that? Do you believe he's forgiven your sins? Do you believe he's fully done it? Do you believe he's washed them all away? Do you believe he's promised eternal life for you? Contrary to everything you see and everything you experience at times. That's what's celebrated. That was the centurion this morning. My servant, whom I love, is over there. I don't even need to see it. I believe your word. All you have to do is speak it. I believe. That's what I'm after. Right there, Jesus says, I haven't seen such faith in Israel. Abraham's life was tested on this point. Everything that God promised to Abraham seemed impossible. You're going to experience that. You know, he's 100 years old. Sarah was 90. Pretty tough to believe your wife's going to give birth. God said she will. And in that body, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. It was all impossible, humanly speaking. He did not waver. Oh, he struggled. You struggle. But he did not waver. He believed in the resurrection. That's highlighted here. Every time Abraham struggled, God loved him so much, he would come down and he'd confirm his word and he would strengthen him. And guess what he's doing for you tonight? In just a moment. The same thing. He's going to feed you with a supper to strengthen your faith. He knows you're weak. He knows it's hard. He understands. Faith, a gift of God. You're going to be tried and tested. How does the promise of forgiveness and eternal life seem to us right now? It seems maybe for the first one, we struggle because we still fight sin. And he wants you to believe, I nailed him to the cross. Hard to believe that eternal life is waiting for me, that heaven is reserved for me. You're a breath away, so am I. And it's yes and amen. The same is true for us, beloved. He wants us to trust his word, even when we feel like nothing's happening. Even when all the culture around us is going chaotic, even when everything seems to be moving at a snail's pace, even when everything seems backward, even when everything seems impossible, Even when everything seems contrary to hope, God's promises are coming to pass. He spoke, and what did Jesus say? It's finished. It's finished. That promise of forgiveness of sins and everlasting life, no one can take from us. He wants you to receive that by faith. It's my gift to you, children. That's how much I love you. So he closes in verse 23, but the words that was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us. This is the best news here. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. That's for you, he just said. That's not just for Abraham. That's for you. Paul wants you to believe that tonight. Contrary to human reasoning, everything that he's done for us is done, yes and amen and sure. He promised it. He spoke. And the same is true about justification by grace through faith alone. You believe? Do you believe? Oh, it's a question we ask often. Do you believe? Are you unwavering in that belief? Trust him. He's faithful. The same promises made to Father Abraham are the same promises made to you. They're yes and amen, and they're solely as a gift of grace. So receive it. Why are we fighting this? Receive it and come to the table tonight and receive the nourishment for your souls as he strengthens your faith in these very promises. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, bless us tonight as we come to the table. Thank you for such encouragement. Thank you for strengthening our faith. Thank you for encouraging us in this great message of the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. Help us to be believing and not unbelieving. Help us to receive this gift, this free gift from you, through the gift of faith, that we also might glorify our God in a way that pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that's all the time that we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're glad that you joined us. We hope to see you again next time as we continue our series in the book of Romans. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.